part of loving is not easy love. Part of loving is tough love. And so the Bible doesn't stop when it just says love your neighbor. He goes a little further than that. Luke 6:32. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Wow. For even sinners love those who love them. That's the easiest time to do it, when everybody else is doing the right thing. But love your enemies. Oh, man. Can I just be honest with you? I wish that wasn't in the Bible. But I didn't write it. Anybody with me on that? You just wish you'd have left that out. Come on, God. We can't carry grudges or just hope something bad happens. A flat tire, God. It doesn't have to be real bad. Just. But love your enemies and do good to them. And lend, hoping for nothing in return. I had to do that one time. I had unforgiveness toward a relative, and the Lord said, write them a check for what they stole from me, because they actually stole something from me. And the Lord said, write them a check for what they stole from you. And I did, and I was expecting, I don't know, an Oprah Winfrey reunion, something like that, you know. I expected a call. I'm sorry. I got nothing, but they cashed the check. I looked at that check and saw that signature, and I said, they did it again. God said, I told you, lend and expect nothing in return. You want to do it again? You want to write another check? No, God, I'm good, I'm good. Let them keep it. I'm good. I'm good. God said, I'll let you take the test over and over and over till I have a heart that I can work with, till I have a soul that I can work with, till I have a character that I can work with. I'll let you take the test over and over and over because I need somebody representing me on this earth. I need ambassadors who can go forth in the love and the fruit of the Spirit and change the world around us. So he said, love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you'll be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Ah, therefore be merciful just as your Father in heaven is merciful. So I hate sometimes being the speaker because I feel like I do all the confessing. Sometimes I'd like to hand you the mic and let you confess. But I'm the guy up here, and I have to tell my stories. When I started early in the ministry, I was like every other young minister. I wanted to excel. I wanted to do great things for God. And so, you know, I was doing the best I could. And I got this guy they called an overseer, who was a guy that was kind of over my state. And we got this, we had a guy who was very nice, and he left, and we got this new guy, and you don't get a choice. You don't like to vote on them. They just kind of show up. And so this guy, they're appointed by somebody else, and they showed up, and this guy was not nice. And as a matter of fact, he had bipolar, but he was believing God for his healing. He needed to be believing the doctor for his healing. I'm telling you, because this guy needed help, and he wouldn't get help. And he was bipolar, and he would have episodes in the meetings and everything. He'd just go off the handle, scream and yell at all the ministers and everything. So one day I had to go to the state office, and it was there in Missouri, and I had to go to the state office and to do something. And I was just a young guy. I was in my 20s. And I'm not anymore, so it's been a while. So I was in my 20s, and I go to this guy's office, and he has one of those episodes, and he goes off on me for 3 hours. This guy called me names, belittled me, and I left there mad. And I was twice his size. I just wanted to hit him once. Just once, God, that's all I need. I'll feel good about that the rest of my life. It's not the unpardonable sin. I can repent. One deck, that's all I need, God, just one. He'll think twice before he tries to discourage a young minister again. I left there mad. And you gotta know something about me. I'm always the guy that was singing in the choir, you know, shaking everybody's hands. I'll come early, pray in the altars, last one to leave. That was me, even as a young man. I was working the altars until nobody was left. I just wanted as much of God as I could get. Well, after this guy did this to me, I didn't even go to some of the meetings. And when I did, I'd sit on the back row. And everybody knew I had a problem, and I couldn't wait for them to ask me because I ran him down like a dog. I'm being honest. I gossiped. I belittled him. I slandered him. Is it okay if I confess this? It's been a while. It wasn't yesterday. If it was yesterday, I wouldn't tell you. I'd just tell the Lord. But it was a long time ago. And I ran him down. I was sinning. Be angry and sin not. You know, anger turns into wrath. Bitterness turns into anger. Anger turns into wrath, which is, it's seethed on the inside. Then wrath turns into evil speaking. That's when it becomes a sin. And then evil speaking turns into malice. That's when you break things. Malice is when you start hurting things and eventually hurting people. And that's when it's really gone too far. It all starts because the anger turns into clamor first, and then the clamor turns into evil speaking, and it's a downward spiral. Well, I didn't get rid of my anger. I didn't go talk to anybody, and mine turned into clamor. And then my clamor turned into evil speaking. And now I'm running this guy down like a dog. I'm a young minister, pastor in a decent-sized church, and I can't stand him. I hate his guts, and I'm telling everybody what he did to me, trying to gain sympathy or something. I don't know. And I did it for, I'm ashamed of this, guys. I did it for 2 years. 2 years. It was terrible. I wasn't happy. My wife wasn't happy with me doing all of that. My church didn't like me because I was mean in the pulpit. It was getting in my gut because I lost my love, and I was letting this frustration eat me alive.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have 4 ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee, 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
I'm studying on a Saturday night for my sermon on Sunday morning, and I don't know how I know this so vividly, but I'm telling you this is exactly what happened. The Holy Spirit came into my study there at our house and down our den and started laughing at me. And I know that sounds really weird, but I knew he was doing it. I knew he was laughing at me. And I was upset, and I said, "Why are you laughing at me?" He said, "Because you don't even know. You're about to throw your whole life away over him. I know he's got a problem, but he's over you in the Lord. He was appointed over you. And because you could not submit to his authority, you're going to throw your whole life away?" And then the Holy Spirit says something to me that scared the daylights out of me. He said, "If you cannot submit to the authority I've placed over you, neither will others submit to the authority I've placed in you." And boy, when he said that, I felt like I'm going to lose all my authority. That's my authority in my home. I couldn't deal with it if my wife and my girls started hating me and disrespected my authority. I just saw myself losing everywhere. And I'm telling you, I was headed down that road. I let that get to me so bad. I was headed down that road. I saw myself losing my ministry. You would have never heard of me because I'd have been washed up a long time ago because I could not get that out of my gut. And I got scared. I said, "Is there any way that I can change this? I don't want to lose my authority, and I don't want to lose my anointing. Is there any way I could change it?" And the Lord said, "Yeah, you can go apologize and ask forgiveness and confess." So I made an appointment. So I go to this mean guy's room, his office, and I wanted to do it right. Man, I was so sincere that I got on my knees. I felt like that was what I should do. So I'm on my knees. He's looking at me like, "What are you doing?" He hadn't seen me in a long time. And I said, "Man, I've been talking about you. I confessed. I've been running you down. I've been mad at you for 2 years because of what happened here in this office. And I just need you to forgive me because I'm losing the anointing, I'm losing favor, and I need you to forgive me before I lose everything." Now, you would think a guy who's technically a lot older than me, should have been a spiritual father, would have embraced that moment with a young minister on his knees. He didn't. He came over and rubbed my head till he messed up every hair on my head like this, and then said this, "I knew you'd come around." I balled up my fist. I'm not kidding. I balled up my fist, and I said, "God, one punch. That's all I'm asking for. One punch. I could wad this man up and stick him in my pocket. He is a puny little bully, and I am twice his size. One punch, God." And you know what the Lord said to me? I really said this. I'm already on my knees with this loaded. It's locked and loaded. I'm ready to sling it, man. And the Lord said, "Oh, you want to do this again? You want to go back to the beginning? Oh, no, the test. I forgot the test. If I don't pass the test, I have to take it again. I don't want to pass. I don't want to fail this test. So it took everything inside of me to get up off that floor. I think I was about 28 years old, and I said, yes, sir, you're right. I came around. I'm gritting my teeth. I'm out of breath. I still want to fight. There's a mean fighting spirit on me about that time. I don't know where that came from. Well, yeah, I do now, but I didn't then. And the Lord said, now tell him you'll cut his grass. I said, what? The Lord said, yeah, tell him you'll cut his grass. And I said, and I'd like to cut your grass. He said, what? I said, yeah, the Lord wants me to cut your grass to do penance. I could barely say it. I said, I hate to cut grass anyway. By the way, I got to push more. And he had a big old yard too, man. He had been paying somebody to cut grass. He hadn't been cutting that grass. Now he's going to get it done for free. So I go over there, and the first day I'm cutting that grass, I am mad as a hornet. I cannot believe after what that man did to me. The Lord said, we going to do this again? No, Lord. I had to cut that grass till I got that out of my spirit. When I finished, and that means I had to cut it more than once. Because it took me a while to get there, guys. I was really mad. But when I got there, when I finally got all that out of me, then the Lord said, okay, if you can love your enemies, I can use you. The Lord said, okay, I can bless you now. I could not bless what you had become. But the fact that you have gotten this unforgiveness out of you, sometimes love is hard. Sometimes love is tough. Sometimes you have to do things you don't want to do because you are his and you are his representative. And this is what the Lord said in John 13. By this, they will know you're my disciples. If you have what? And that's the test I had to pass. Sometimes you got to nail it. Sometimes you got to wear it so that you don't forget it. Israel knew this very well. Israel practiced a practice that they still practice to this day. As a matter of fact, we have one of these on our door at our house. It's called a mezuzah. And this is where the idea of the mezuzah come from. In Deuteronomy 6, verses 4, verse 4 through 9, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your strength. That's what God wanted them to remember. Now, let's read that again. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your strength. And then he says, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children when you shall talk with them and sit with them in your house, when you walk with them by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. And then he says, you shall bind them as a sign on your forehead. What is this on their forehead? This, I'll show it to you in a minute. This phylactery, they call it, on their forehead. What's in it? It is a scroll that says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all your soul, and all your might. The Lord said, I don't want you to forget it. I want you to bind it on your forehead, and I want you to bind it on the frontlets of your eyes and on your hands and arms. So show them a picture of the phylacteries that we have there. Here we go. So this is a picture of phylactery. So Jewish people, every time they pray, they will bind up their hands just like this. And I don't know if they have a picture of the one on the forehead, but it's like a little square box that's on the top of their head. And all of this is so that they will fulfill one scripture, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul. And then he says in verse 9, and write it on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So if you ever come in my garage, you're going to get a blessing on the way in and on the way out because you angle it. I think they have one up there to show you guys, but you actually angle it so that the first thing that touches you is the blessing, and the last thing that touches you is the blessing. And the blessing is a reminder, in this house, we love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, all your soul. As a matter of fact, if you ever come to ISO and you go in Crystal's office, you'll pass a mezuzah. If you come to our house, you'll pass a mezuzah. And in that mezuzah is the reminder that if I'm going to be a Christian, I have to walk in love. If I'm going to be a Christian, the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart must be acceptable in his sight. He is my strength and my redeemer.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand His kingdom around the world.